order. And can we have the roll call, please?
Director Wortham?
Here.
Director Matthews?
Here.
Vice President Rogers?
Here.
President Zendo?
Here. And I'd like to ask Alejandro Espinosa to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Sure. Place your hand over, your right hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you. And now I'd like to ask Jeff Scott, our legal counsel, to administer the oaths of office to our newly elected board members.
All right. Yvette and Carol, come on up here, please. This is the fun part of my job. Okay. The oath of office and swearing allegiance to our Constitution is an age-old tradition in our country. And it goes all the way back to the Constitution and the framers of the Constitution. Basically, in Article 6, the judiciary is required, all federal judges are required to take this oath of office. And every president since George Washington has taken the oath of office. And things, what were really routine oaths, took a bit of a twist, as you can imagine, when the Civil War broke out. With shifting loyalties, Abraham Lincoln signed an executive order that required all employees in the executive branch to take the oath of office and swear allegiance to our Constitution. The legislature was concerned about it and required all federal appointees and elected officials to also take the oath of office. And today, everybody in the armed service and all elected and appointed officials take this solemn oath to pledge to allegiance to our Constitution. So it's my pleasure now to administer the oath to our newly elected officials. So if you will, raise your right hand and repeat after me. I do solemnly swear.
I do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all evils.
Against all evils.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
And I will bear true faith and allegiance.
And I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the Constitution of the United States.
To the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
I take this obligation freely.
I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And I will faithfully discharge.
And I will faithfully discharge.
The duties upon which I'm about to enter. Congratulations.
So should I sign anything?
I'll sign it.
Yeah. Evidently, there's an policy that says we can't have alcohol here, so we can't have champagne.
Well, you're the president.
We can change that.
That wasn't in the Constitution.
So, do I hear a motion to approve the agenda for the special meeting study session of the Board of Directors?
I so move.
Second.
Before we vote, we go right into closed session. Do we want to take care of the action items on J out of order so people can leave?
Yeah, so we don't have to kick everybody out of the room.
What do you think of that? I mean, I don't mean...
Either way, you're kicking them out now or you're kicking them out after to go into the next meeting, so.
Well, at least, let's say I was one of these two people that want to make sure my contract was a signer, I got my 700 grand. I might just go get some alcohol.
Actually, there's nobody that's receiving that money today.
Okay.
But...
So the answer, I just am asking the question.
I think that's a good idea.
That's fine. Without objection, then we'll postpone. So we'll change the agenda to move on to item J. Is that correct? Is that what your motion is?
You can do J two and three, right?
Do one, two, and three.
One, two, and three.
One is informational or do we need it? I mean, I'm just reading the agenda, so whichever word you prefer.
Okay, and then we go into executive session.
Then we go into executive session and then reconvene at six.
Got it.
I'm just trying to let people go.
And you accept that second?
That's good for me.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. At this time, comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are public interest and within the scope, subject matter, jurisdiction of the district. The board has a policy of limiting speakers to no more than 3 minutes. The board cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on agenda items when they come up for discussion and or action. Is there any public comment at this point? Yes.
I'm Tom Cox, I'm with the CV Rescue Mission. And
if you're here to talk about homelessness, it'll be when we get to the agenda item on homelessness.
J1.
Yeah, J1.
Are we on?
Yeah, this is public comment on things that aren't on the agenda. This is on the homelessness thing is on the agenda.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on. And now we're going to move on to item J, the study session. And I'm going to ask Lisa to set the stage and lead us in this discussion.
Okay, so what I'm going to hand up to the board members, just for later reference, because we kind of talk about it, but I just want you to have copies of it. That is the legislation that was signed in September of 2016 in regards to the Housing First.
Did you get the copy?
It's a full set. How many did you get?
It's a full set.
And so it's just more for reference purposes after the study session or during the study session. And then also I have copies of the proposed amendment to extend Barbara Puffy's current contract. So that's part of our action item. And lastly, a copy of the PowerPoint if you guys need it, but it is on the screen. So, as you recall, at our last November meeting, it was discussed about further staff to take a deeper dive into the Barbara Poppy report and staff to move forward under the Pillar 1 and the collective. A lot has transpired since that time frame. Currently, Pleasant Healthcare District staff has been working hand-in-hand with both the CBAG staff, meaning representatives of the Homeless Committee, and also Greg from Supervisor Prez's office, to look into how we would move forward with the collective, but also with the opportunity of the HEAP funding that is coming available, and the grant is due this coming Friday. So with that, we have put forth, the first slide is just kind of a high level of next steps that the staff sees that they will be following to follow the guidance of the board and from the November meeting, with the one starting with the collective impact model implementation. With that, we are building in several components of the collective impact model into the HEAP grant request, and we'll go through that a little bit more in detail. The final data analysis, as Barbara had presented in November, we did not have all the DPSS data at the time of our November board meeting. We have since then received even further data analysis, and so we are requesting support to go through that to finalize all the information. we would like to produce a formal report. One of the things that has come up time and time again is that there needs to be further general public understanding and awareness of homelessness. I'm really understanding the different programs that are out there, but also, you know, what we're seeing across the country is different cities are going down the road of even counseling their general community members on how to work with the homeless, like what is the right thing to do to help them versus not necessarily the right thing. And with that is we are continuing our relationship with the county office of DPSS and the executive office, furthering the conversation from the focus group meetings that truly identified the significant challenges of the current systems that are in place on contractual services. One of the things that the service providers have made it very clear through this process is even though that there are requirements of the service providers to be on the housing first model and move people quickly into housing, there is a significant holdup in the process. And so we are lacking efficiencies because of that relationship between the county and the service providers. So we're still going down that road to see if there's a way to improve. And then lastly, under that basis, we have been requested that if we do extend the contract with Barbara Poppy, Tom Kirk from CBAG has requested that Barbara bring forward a presentation to the CBAG Homeless Committee in regards to the same report that was presented to our board on November 27th.
With updated information.
With the final updated. And then finally, we have started the preliminary conversations in the city of Palm Springs due to the significant lack of crisis beds to talk about a pilot program called the 25 Familiar Faces, which through this we'll go into a little bit deeper dive into what that should look like. So with that, under the collective impact model, we have already established a core leadership team from the work we did with Barbara Poppy. We would reconvene that team with the assistance of Barbara Poppy if the board approves the extension of her contract to really establish a governance structure. The key thing is who would house this collective? How would it govern its decisions based on financials and that sort of thing? The process of going through a hiring process to hire the staff that would literally run the collective, and then the relationship between the fiscal agency. As it stands currently, the conversation with Supervisor Perez's office, CBAG, and ourselves, the right now current proposal is that the district foundation houses the initiative and the initial beginning to get it rolling, and then eventually it would either roll out onto its own or evolve into another fiscal agency. From that, you know, one of the biggest things in the collective is having a general agreement with all service providers. And so we need to structure an MOU. And that MOU that represents in a collective impact model is a general understanding of what everybody calls the North Star. It's basically everybody's in agreement of where are we going. So your MOU is like a formality that positions the service providers and the people representing the collective, whether it's staff or leadership teams, that there's a clear understanding of why are we here, what are we here to do, and ideally is how are we going to get there. That takes time. With Letty in the room, Letty and I have been heavily involved in the Lift to Rise collective impact model. This is time consuming work. It's not something that you just put forth a governance structure in, you know, paper and say this is what it's going to look like. It really does take several community meetings, really drilling down with different members of the community to understand wants, needs, desires, that sort of thing, to really get to a mutually agreed upon place. Hence why we are recommending the extending the Barbara Poppy contract to have that third party assistant to do that. And then from there, what has been decided is we want to present a partnership with CBAG. That would be with Cheryl and Tom Kirk to start to proceed forward and presenting to the nine cities and looking for match funding from each of the nine cities. As many of you remember, last year we only had 6 of the 9 cities come forward. We are actually hoping under the new collective and the way we're looking at the funding of the match funding to actually go out to a brand new RFP process. We'll embrace all service providers, but as long as we're all kind of going, once again, it's that North Star, we're all moving in that unified direction of getting to end results and outcomes. So when we get into the action items, there's going to be 2 key things. We're going to be asking for to consider the extension of the Barnes Poppy contract and also to consider doing match funding against all 9 cities. Okay. This is more for your reference afterwards and for our community members. We will post this PowerPoint to the website either tomorrow morning. Andrea, is that fine?
Sure.
The timeline is kind of going a little bit into the weeds. It's not necessarily something for us to really go through at this meeting, but just gives any of you an opportunity to kind of look through what are the key points along the way. What staff is recommending here is we believe it will take until sometime until June where we are actually, as staff from the healthcare district, able to actually roll out the responsibilities and the workload to the full initiative. So that's the 2 pages following that kind of shows that as once we go through the hiring of the staff and then, you know, the handoff aspect. From there, I'll take you down the road of the HEAP funding. So the HEAP funding is a one-time source of funds that came down from the state. This is tied to the $500 million bond that was approved. This funding was brought into the county under the pretense of, based on the preliminary meetings the county held, but also through the bidders meetings. Their key thought process is the impact has to be immediate with long-term results. It has to show coordination of services. It has to be driven by the housing first model. And you have to also show your alignment with the Riverside County Strategic Action Plan. We are very fortunate. Almost everything that's in our Barbara Poppy report is very much in alignment with Riverside County Strategic Action Plan and also with, obviously, with housing first. With that, myself, Cheryl and Greg and Tom Kirk sat around and really talked through from the input we received from the focus group meetings, from the work that we received from Barbara Poppy as far as the data analysis and the identifying where we had some true gaps in our community. And so it came to light that we wanted to focus on 3 key initiatives. This grant is being written through CBAG, whereas the collective will receive a good portion of those funds. The top of the list is the collective staff. Everything that we have learned through county staff, but also their strategic plan and our work is, one of the biggest things is across the whole county of Riverside, there is genuine concern about the segregation of services where there's not true collaboration of efforts. There's not an alignment of funding. So if you were to refer to the Riverside County Strategic Plan, there's a whole strategy in regards to really mapping out funding and to prevent this duplication of services in areas to maximize limited funding, but then also to position us in a better limelight to go after outside funding that we haven't normally attracted to our county. With that, we feel very strongly that the having the collective here represents all of Coachella Valley. As many of us know, we stand a little bit in a silo here in comparison to the rest of Riverside County. And so from conversations both that I have had, but more importantly that Greg Rodriguez has had with Natalie, there's definitely a push to create this kind of energy. In this funding, we are asking for almost exactly what Barbara Poppy had recommended. It would be the ED, who would basically be the lead charge of the collective, and also the program coordinator. However, through conversation with staff at the county level and also here, there is strong belief that the data analysis would be something that the county themselves really want to take a deeper dive into, based on them looking at upgrading their HMIS system, and also they're working on bringing in a potential consultant to help them understand the data. So instead, what was really important is we know that ultimately here in the Coachella Valley, there is a lack of resources to go after actual end resulting permanent housing. So in this grant, we've evolved under the collective is a landlord navigator that is not just a position to represent all service providers, but also we are building into the grant a funding source to actually work with our real estate sector and create a referral mechanism. This is being built off a program that is being incredibly successful in Arizona and the Phoenix area. And so we are kind of looking at hybrid, but ultimately the plan that's being proposed in the HEAP funding is to, instead of having, you know, one or two housing navigators, let's have 25 to a couple hundred across the whole Coachella Valley, finding us opportunities for housing for the long haul of our homeless population. Moving on from there, a diversion plan of action. This is a twofold. This is diversions / prevention. We're calling it the Assisted Rapid Response Plan. We see this as a two-phase program. Phase one is going to be basically working as a community, devising a plan that would be used universally with all service providers, and we would initiate this with our true direct service providers. So as an example, if you are living in the Wash and a outreach worker comes across your path and has a conversation with you, and you've kind of moved on and now you've moved over to the park, and a different outreach person comes into contact with you, the principle is the conversation maintains the same stream. It has a very similar tone and feel to it to help basically stabilize the conversation and find opportunities. With that though, the real big lift on this is the phase two, is where we take this into the more indirect service providers. So that would be your likes of all your food distribution centers, where they are constantly talking to people that are on the verge of homelessness or dealing with, you know, significant financial strains. We're talking all our student counselors that are dealing with our precariously housed youth population. We're also talking about the likes of our hospital staff. Under the diversion program, we are also presenting a concept. As we know, our hospitals are now required to have a discharge plan for our homeless population. And with that being said, we are proposing to become assistants to that discharge plan with our hospitals, to work with hospital staff to work the diversion / prevention model. So to really help with the training aspect, it is my understanding from a conversation with Linda Evans that Tenet is going along a very aggressive, fast-paced concept of how to train up their staff. And so what we're looking at is complementing that by actually giving them life experience staff to help them through that training process. So that part of the grant request, we're calling it as a sustainable plan, because ultimately they would no longer need that training because the hospital staff would be up to date. Then from there is our landlord and mitigation fund. One of the biggest things here is having an incentive and mitigation fund to enable people to actually either locate a home or stay in their current home. And then the four pilot project, 25 familiar faces, which we'll go through in a minute here. So from there, what we just wanted to do is really reflect upon the legislation under the CV Housing First. And the key to the CV Housing First is this no barriers. We've gone through the SB 1380 in fine detail. We've done the research of the Federal Housing First program. And you know, there is significant challenges with the no barriers aspect of it. And so that's why when we started talking about the 25 familiar faces, we really want to do this in an in-depth pilot program with a deep evaluation to truly understand what works and what doesn't work so we can potentially take it out to more cities. With that being said, it ties to, I'm gonna hop over to the sheet. We are being driven by the fact that we know that we are in need of more shelter beds. However, we currently hold majority of the shelter beds. And one of the reports that we're analyzing is a zip code report from DPSS of all our service providers. Currently across the board, so this is all homeless service providers, over 30% of who we are serving is coming from outside of the Coachella Valley. So it's a significant number that we've attracted here, obviously because we are known to have service providers. And as I had shared with Chris, under the behavioral health aspect, that's even within our own 9 cities. So when I was doing my interviews with our first responders, Indio Police Department very much feels that the other police departments are shipping their homeless population down that way because of the belief that that's where all the services are. So, you know, if you've got that within your own 9 cities, we definitely have it within our county region as a whole. But the zip code is very interesting because we are serving people far further than just the Riverside County borders. So with that, what we wanted to do is just refresh you. This was in Barbara's full report. This is a comparison on statistics that have come through under best practices. And so when we get into the 25 familiar faces, this is really driven by that number at the bottom of the return on investment, where it shows that under the example of an emergency tent, principle that only 15% of the population served in the emergency tent in San Diego actually went to permanent supportive housing. However, when there was a combination of the navigation triage and bridge housing, 77% of those individuals actually moved into permanent housing. So the 25 familiar faces is very much based on the bridge housing concept. So, in a nutshell, the 25 familiar faces, currently in Palm Springs, there's 126 individuals based on the last point time account. We're not saying that is 100% accurate. What we're saying is it's just a baseline to work. What we also know is out of those individuals, there's only 29 of them that are actually chronically homeless. So 25 became the focal point as what we've seen through research across the country of different pilot programs similar to this. The more focused you can get, the more success you will have. The key thing under the familiar faces is this is a list that is going to be designed not just by service providers, but it's going to include your first responders, it's going to include your Desert Regional Medical staff, anybody that's been serving our homeless population, even our council members from Palm Springs. The key is for everybody to come to the conclusion, here's our top 25 heavy users of the system. Those would become the focus point of this initiative. We would use 2 current bridge housing locations that are already available to us, and we would start a process of bringing 4 individuals in at a time, and within 30 to 45 days, move them into permanent supportive housing. The key difference on this is in the permanent supporting housing, there will be built into the budget that we did for the HEAP grant, and also this will take some outside funding as well, is the proposal shows that we have to also create the permanent housing with no barriers whatsoever. So meaning if this person is waiting for documentation or waiting for income or waiting for a voucher system, we will actually be putting forward a budget that would show we would fund that bridge until those vouchers kind of kicked in. The purpose is to ultimately truly understand what does it cost us to take somebody from the streets to a permanent situation and to stabilize them. The other nice thing that we're proposing in this plan is to hybrid the model that's being done down at Indio Police Department through the court program. And so we're already started those conversations. A meeting is being scheduled for the police chiefs to talk, and we're engaging with the DA's office. Because currently, as it stands in the court, it's done through CVRM, and there's requirements for those individuals to go through it. So what we're trying to figure out is how do we kind of uphold those same sort of requirements to basically also, though, keep these people into permanent housing rather than through a shelter process. So this would repeat, and based on the HEAP grant, we believe that this will make a significant difference in the homeless population of Palm Springs, but there's also an evaluation model being built into this, so very quickly we would start to be able to evaluate this to see about increasing the number of bridge housing and permanent housing for not just Palm Springs, but also for our highly populated unsheltered individuals such as in Desert Hot Springs and Cathedral City. In here is just further information for the board. It's just kind of who's all engaged, all the multiple different agencies. This is an opportunity for us to significantly understand what would it take to create a true coordination of services. So it would go, basically, no one party would be doing all services. There would be multiple parties involved in that. And we have had conversations with each of the CEOs or EDs of the different service providers. Everybody's very much interested in going down this road. And then once again, there's a timeline in here to establish just for the further details of what it will take to really kind of go through the process and evaluate it and repeat it every basically 45 to 60 days. And from there, that's it.
Okay, what I'd like to do, since we only really have about a half hour or so left, is first I'd like to ask, if everybody's okay with this, the directors if they have any specific questions about what was just presented, and then I'll ask for director comments, and then I'll ask for public comments, and then hopefully we'll have a little time at the end to actually take some action. So first of all, do any of the directors have questions about the information that was presented?
One of the pages had said action plan.
Timeline?
No, it's public presentations of the strategic action plan. I don't, has
what
this
page?
Board,
I'm sorry.
The first page, staff next step. Do we have a strategic action plan?
No, we're just calling because we don't have a name for the Barb Poppy report. And if you look at the Barb Poppy report, it was called the strategic action plan.
Okay,
so CBEC has requested it basically
okay,
in those terms.
That's my question.
Okay. Any other, do you have any questions? Questions. Okay, director comments.
I have comments. As you know, this board has appointed me to sit on the CBEC homeless committee, and in addition, I volunteer as a nurse at a homeless free clinic. And so I see the tragedy and the crisis that we're going through on a firsthand basis. I do not agree that we need to expand Barbara Poppy's contract. I do not agree that her criteria for the solution of our homeless crisis is diversion. I think that may be appropriate for a small percentage of the homeless people, but 80% need mental health and drug addiction rehab, and I think that that's what our focus needs to be. The CBEC committee, I have public comment presentation from Chrissy Halsridge of the Desert Hot Springs City Council. Palm Springs City Council, and she puts in her statement that there are important policy determinations that need to be made by the board and community partners. For example, Christy says we have not had sufficient time or information to determine whether to support or engage the 25 Familiar Faces pilot project. While Barbara Poppy had some great ideas in terms of our path forward that we have put together, I think that a strategic action plan needs to be worked out so that it reflects the needs of the community, the views of the community, the things that were presented to us by many, many people that participated in this process. And overwhelmingly, we have heard from CBEC, from the cities. I have a public comment from Savvy Jonathan, who's the mayor of City of Palm Desert, that we all say we need a shelter in West County. And that's the direction I would like to see this board go in. I think that we should hire the collective staff in January. I do not think it's appropriate for this board foundation to apply for HEAP funding, where we would be in competition with the other service providers. Some of them are here today who have also applied. I think that this board should authorize staff to hire the three employees, the three collective staff that has been recommended, that I think that we need to do that now or as soon as we can get it on the agenda for approval.
There are other director comments?
This is a confounding issue in every city we operate in. I experience it at my workplace and I experience it in many places. And, you know, there's so many issues in and around this. And I agree with you, Carol, that we may want to take a deep breath and make sure everybody's on board. We approved a $2 million collective fund. This isn't a tremendous amount of money to spend this contract, but I'm not exactly sure what happened, and I'm somewhat confused what it appears. And here's the other conundrum, because there's another place that do quite a bit of business, and they've really stepped up their homeless efforts. And the sad response is they get more. The other cities send them in. So we have 6 cities that agreed to participate, which is great, but we need to get to the core problems that you mm-hmm. kind of outlined. And I'd be very comfortable tabling this for a while mm-hmm. and bringing it back instead of this particular item, but I'd like to hear from the real providers
mm-hmm.
on what we need to do. But that's my sense.
I kind of agree because this is a lot to absorb all at one time and would like to study it further. And I mean, Carol is our representative at CBAG, and so I really feel like she has her arms wrapped around this issue probably better than any of us at the table. And so I her comments really resonate, and I think I'd like to study it further.
I guess I see it differently. I think we all realize that this is a very complicated thing. And I think, although it went into the weeds a little more than I think we could digest in this study session, I think what the proposal is that we extend Barbara Poppe's contract to basically continue to clarify what are the next steps going to be and to enlist the support of the other cities through CVAG and the other organizations in the valley so that there's an agreement as to how to go forward. That's how I see it. And all I think that the staff is asking for is a small amount of money to have Barbara continue working on creating the collective, which I heard the collective is the way to bring all the cities and all the providers and CVAG together. And we don't have the staff to do that. We need to hire somebody else. And here is the expert. I haven't heard any negatives, but I would like to hear from the public if anybody has any comments. I am going to limit it because of time to public comments of 3 minutes, but please, if you have a comment, we'd love to hear from you.
I had too much caffeine earlier today, so. CVRM has been involved in...
Introduce yourself, please.
Tom Cox, Program Director at the Child and Life Rescue Mission. Darla and myself have been involved in this process. And first of all, I want to say that I'm very thankful for Desert Healthcare District for stepping in and all the work that is going to talk about an issue that's not necessarily one that other agencies are doing. CVRM, we do shelter. That's what we do, and we've done it for 45 years, and we've done it really well. So one of the things that we've expanded in the last few years is we've added a low-barrier, housing-first approach. And we've had to learn how to do shelter a new way. We've also added rapid rehousing. We've added program houses. We have 10 homes with 55 individuals throughout the community. So we're trying to do things differently as well. One of the things that I would like to see is we talk about diverting from the emergency shelter. So last night in our emergency shelter, we had 249 individuals. We took in a family of 11, and the family of 11 had nowhere to go. It was a DPSS referral. We have people all over the place. It gets cold. But we also have case management. We're an access point for the CES. So we put in people in the system and we refer them to the CES, and we're a homeless A new word we use, we're a homeless access center. So we don't just provide shelter bed nights, but we provide homeless prevention, case management, supportive services, and we may just provide meals, a shower, clothing. Most of our people, though, the key word here for what we do is self-sufficiency. So we get people working, and they are self-resolved in their housing, which means they are diverted from the CES, the Coordinated Entry System. It's a big popular. Everybody goes in to get coordinated. If we divert individuals from that system, then we take less of a load off of those that, like, if you work full-time, minimum wage, you are not eligible for most government housing programs. So we've kind of taken a niche of getting people self-sufficient. We partner with workforce development. We do on-site life skill training. We try to get them to work as soon as possible. Now, housing first. You can choose not to want to work. You can choose not to be substance free. So we're kind of a mixed model. We do housing first, but we also do programming. So if someone wants to get working, someone wants to reunite with their family, someone wants to get housing, we provide all that. So trying to keep it as short as possible, we're thankful for the collaboration. We would, you know, we do emergency shelter. We do low barrier housing first emergency shelter. We would just like to be more involved in the process and talk about shelter because that's what we do.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah, my name is Christian Jellenberg with Street Life Project. We're homeless outreach. We serve about 300 homeless across the valley. In fact, we have a Christmas event for the homeless right now. In fact, when we're done, I'm going to head over there. But what we do when we're out there serving food, clothing, toiletries, all the basic necessities, is we're connecting people to services as well. Connecting people to county services like rapid rehousing, permanent housing through the county. We're connecting people to jobs, rehab, whatever it takes. The biggest deficiency is shelter. And I love the housing first model, it's great. But I think we need to do a little bit better than 25 familiar faces kind of program. And what I mean by that is we need immediate shelter, not shelter rentals, but I really think we need to invest in structure. And what I mean by that is instead of putting money into rentals, actually build an infrastructure that sustains people year after year after year is needed across the entire Coachella Valley. So we've actually been studying this for over 7 years. I mean, we've been serving the homeless out there, and we asked them from the very get-go, what would work for you? And they're always saying, tiny home villages. We're like, okay. So we actually traveled the country. We went to Seattle, Portland. We went to 9 tiny home village locations, figured out how they're structured, how they're implemented, and whether or not they work or not. My immediate mindset was like HGTV kind of homes, but they're not like that at all. They're very basic structures, just to give them a roof over their head and their basic needs being met. And Housing First Project, or the Housing First model, proves that when people have their basic needs met, they tend to get back on their feet, especially when they have follow-up with case management and they're directed in a direction that's healthy, that's productive to their health. It also centralizes your service efforts. So when the cops do a sweep right now, it makes it very difficult because we're pretty much trying to track what camp they're going to. If we've spit out at them, and we've done the risk assessment, they qualify, now we're searching for them. Whereas these tiny home campuses create a location for the cops when they do their sweep to put somebody. It centralizes service efforts from all the different service providers. Whether it be mental health, physical health, people that provide AIDS assistance. You know, there's a bunch of different services that are provided, and it makes it just a lot of easier. What I want to tell you guys is that we've developed the plan. Basically, we took what Seattle and Portland spent over $250 million in development of different programs, one of them being tiny home villages. We took the best of what we learned through the process of engaging with everybody from these different villages, and we put together a plan for Coachella Valley to provide shelter for every documented unsheltered person here in the valley. And it includes 6 site locations. We are applying for the funding.
30 seconds more.
Oh, 30 seconds, okay. But what I'd like to do is have the opportunity. It's very detailed. It's very complex when you get into the nuts and bolts of it, but we'd really like an opportunity to explain to you the efficiency of it and how it could work here in the Valley, and we'd love your support. We need a collective. I love that. A collective is, we need to be working together on the same time, so.
Other public comments? Yes, sir.
Thank you for your time, ladies and gentlemen of the board. My name is Scott Wolf. I'm the Development Director at the Coachella Valley Rescue Mission. I'm not going to take too much of your time. I just want to offer the board just a little bit of a word of caution, just from a personal perspective. Homelessness is really not the problem here. It's what's causing the homelessness. Homelessness is a result of other things that are going on in these people's lives. If you don't address those, and you just put a Band-Aid on the problem by putting a roof over their head, but you don't concentrate on the social services that are needed, like rehab or mental health issues, health issues like that, they're going to wind up right up on the streets again. And I just want to caution the board to just take a really good, hard look at things like that before you decide on a homeless or housing first approach on 100% of what you're trying to deal with, because a housing first approach isn't going to work on everybody. Just like you guys said, maybe it's only going to have about a 20-25% effect. The other 75%, if you try to put them in a housing first approach, you're going to be totally ineffective, and you're going to just not be good stewards of the money that you guys are trying to invest in your programs. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other public comments? So I just want to say something. I see, first of all, it's in my opinion anyway, it's not the district that's going to be running the homelessness initiative. It's going to be a collective made up of all the cities and all the providers and the political people that are going to come together and decide in a coordinated way how to address homelessness, which is multifactorial. It's not a unified population, etc. And I think that the best that the district can do is two things. One is to help create the infrastructure for the collective through a consultant of some kind, and I think Barbara Poppy, from what I understand, is probably one of the most qualified to do it. And then let the collective decide whether we're going to do boxes or whatever they're called, or shelters, or diversion, or food, whatever it is. It's not for the district to decide. The money we're providing is really to help the cities come forward, and the county, and the different organizations to work together. So I would like us to support the recommendations that are being presented by the staff. Other comments?
Well, I think that we can go forward with all of the issues that have been presented today if we hire our own staff to create the collective, move forward with all of these issues. I don't think that we need to put up another $25,000 for a consultant that I feel didn't listen to the needs of the community in the first place. She came with her own ideas about what works in other parts of the country, but not what we need here in Coachella Valley.
But we have to tell the staff what we want them to do.
We can do that.
There has to be a plan.
Go ahead.
And I think that's what the collective is going to, by talking to people, is going to come up with a plan that the staff will support.
So I'm supportive of us hiring a person. I think there'll be a lot of different perspectives represented in the collective, but we are a healthcare district. And I think the homelessness issues that we need to really focus on are related to the person's health and mental health especially. And so I'm okay with hiring a staff person, but I think I'm agreeing that we can take it forward from here on out. That we should accelerate getting that person on board, and have them help be the spark that helps bring this collaborative together. I think that's something that we as a district can do. That's huge. But to me, our focus and the determinants, the mental health issues, and the emergency shelter for people that are, you know, out on the streets related to drugs. I mean, there's going to be other funding that's going to be coming in for, you know, for those types of problems. I feel like we really need to just get moving. And I think I also kind of, I wasn't sure that the report was a home run. that we got before and once we heard all the community comment after that report as well, and it seemed that the community comment after that report was also not all in favor. So I'm just kind of hearing, and I've been hearing in the community, the value that we bring, and so I'd like to move forward with us bringing staff right away.
I'd like to hear comments from the staff.
I mean, I go back to the November 27th meeting and Director Hazen, the motion that was made, that was approved by the board, was to work on creating the collective, and that we are flying the plane as we build it. And so what I hear from that is that it's not a simple, easy process. There are going to be potential disagreements along the way, but along with that is, you know, staff is bringing forward items as we believe in guidance from, you know, the Barbara Poppy process, and you know, some are feeling good about that, some are not, but again, it's building the plane as we fly it. We are bringing to the board suggestions in that. Obviously, we can you know, take direction as the board sees fit to do. We are looking at the potential heat funding that would help assist with the expense of the staff for the collective. Will we, in theory, be able to hire any quicker in those positions if we do it directly? I don't know that it would hire that much quicker than, because the funding for the HEAP will be, it potentially will be announced by the end of January, who's getting what funding. It won't be awarded until March. But at that point, you know, we can be working towards filling.
The HEAP funding is competitive though.
Correct.
And there are other organizations, service providers in the Valley who are also applying.
But the whole idea is to get everybody to work together and not
right.
competitive with each
exactly.
other.
Exactly, so we shouldn't compete.
Well, no, it's the collective that's going to help determine what is the combination of services that the Coachella Valley needs to meet the need. If we're talking about building a shelter beds, that takes a while.
Oh, sure.
And I think that the project that's being contemplated, in Palm Springs, it is a trial to see if in this small group of people, if this model will work. And if it does, then we can expand it to other places. I think that all of the providers in the Valley are going to be valuable, but somebody has to coordinate it. CBAG supports the collective, and I think we need to do what we can do to get the collective going. It's not the district that's going to decide how we address homelessness. It's the collective. And our job, and I think Kay put it very well, is to do whatever we can to get the collective off the ground as soon as possible. And to go out and find another staff person to start all over again with all the players and CBAG, I think we lose an opportunity by not hiring Barbara Poppy again for a few months to see where we go and how it gets done. I think that's the quickest way to get the collective off the ground.
And I'm sitting here currently as the treasurer, I still think we have financial issues on the horizon. And
that's your job.
And to worry about the money. I'm thrilled the district expanded. We have no additional funds. I think $25,000 is a pretty small amount of money to support the rest of this effort. This is a very complex problem. We aren't going to solve it, meaning the district is going to carry the entire community and the various agencies here that do this. I have some old history with the Coachella Valley Rescue Mission 15, 20 years ago, and thank you for what you do and what you do. You can hire whoever you want, and it isn't going to get down here. But getting it in that collective, and like I say, the $25,000 is a small amount. By the time you hire an employee, you'd be blowing through the 25,000 times five. And we've got a team ready to go. So although I'm frustrated about the problem, every government agency that deals with it is. We've got a collective. I'd like to know, I know we have 6 of 9 cities. Who are the 3? Indian Wells and who else?
Rancho Mirage.
Rancho Mirage.
Indian Wells and
India.
Mm-hmm. They elected to give directly to CB Rescue Mission.
Oh, that's smart.
Which is what Indian Wells and Rancho Mirage.
Which, if I were in India, I'd do the same thing.
But by the way, one of the things we heard from Sabi last month was he would like us, and that's the second proposal, to allocate the rest of the funds that are available, maybe add a couple hundred thousand more, to encourage all the cities to participate, to continue, or maybe either continue what we're doing now or modify what we're doing now. And by the way, I just want to make one more point, and that's that we can direct Barbara Poppy to please go back to the cities and the providers to hear what they are saying, because they ultimately are going to be part of the collective. And to create a collective where they don't feel they're on board is a waste of resources. So, did you want to answer, Dino?
Yes, I just wanted to say, I know we keep using the word collective, but it really is more of a collective, collaborative impact. And where, you know, Director Rogers was alluding to the fact that maybe it's competitive. The HEAP funding will help offset a lot of the other expenses that the district, people may be looking to the district to fund. And where, if you look at a collective impact, collaborative impact, there's pieces. Everybody takes a piece of what they do the best. We're looking at just a small piece, which is the diversion, and which is developing the collective. If CBRM is applying, they're going to apply for what they do best. So, I mean, the shelters will never go away, but we will be feeding off on each other and assisting each other, but all the different branches will be covered, so to speak. So we'll have the diversion covered, we'll have the shelter covered, we can have rapid housing covered, we can have transitional housing covered, and hopefully permanent supportive housing. But it's all, and everybody takes ownership of that and then reports back to the collective, the backbone, to see what kind of results are being made and what gaps and what services are still needed. So
we have to stop people being sent from the West Valley to the East Valley, and the only way to do that is through a collective and a collaborative process.
So just quickly, so number one thing is that this board in its strategic planning process talked about the importance of leverage of funding. So the partnership with CVAG being the grantee, and us through the collective, not Desert Healthcare District or Foundation, but the collective would receive some of those funding to help support the work. So, but it's leveraging funding that the district's putting into homelessness, which is one of the top priorities that this board agreed to during the strategic planning process. The whole process involved with Barbara Puppy was a full community engagement. We have lists of all the participants at all those meetings. So there is significant buy-in. Both Cheryl and I have done extensive work with Greg Rodriguez to reach out to the executive directors from each of the nonprofit service providers to talk about what they were applying for in the HEAP to try and prevent this competition in sense of financial dollars. So everything that we've put forward, other than the 25 familiar face concept, was to take into consideration everybody's services. So both from all public parties that presented here tonight, what we are proposing in the diversion / prevention is a significant start of putting forth unrestricted funds built with a pulsing procedure to be used. So each of our service providers actually have access to funding to divert. So when they have a family of 11 and Tom knows of a 2-bedroom, he can tie up immediately. He doesn't have to worry about going through the paperwork and process through the county. He has almost called like a petty cash to get these people housed immediately. Or through the diversion, it involves getting people involved in, instead of going to a shelter, they go directly through into rehab. So it's very much not a competition in the sense of, yes, it's a competitive grant. So it's only $9 million. It's a drop in the pail, and that's $9 million for the whole county of Riverside. The key is yes, you're 100% right about us shipping people down from the West to CVRM or to Martha's Village and Kitchen, but even if we build it here, we're just gonna ship them in from the west side of Riverside and as a whole. So the collective will work towards that end to bring it together. But I think the most important thing is that we have to embrace, data is hard to embrace, but it doesn't lie. That's what it is. That's why during the strategic plan, data drives our decisions. And the data is hard to swallow. Donna and I are the first ones to admit to that.
All right, let's move on. We have two proposals. One, the first proposal is the staff recommendation involving the agreement extension. Do I hear a motion to accept the proposal and a second so we can discuss it and vote on it? Is there a motion?
I make a motion to direct staff to present a budget at our next board meeting in January to hire three collective staff members to facilitate the formation of a collective impact council. And I move that we not accept Barbara Poppy's extension of her contract.
Is there a second to that?
I'll second.
Okay. There's a second discussion. I disagree. I think it's just going to postpone getting the collective up and going. I think we should approve this so that the collective can start working. And that's the quickest way to get stuff done. So I will vote against it. Anybody else want to say anything?
Call the roll.
Okay. Call the roll.
Okay. Director Perezquio. Should we repeat the motion one more time, maybe?
Yeah, should we really put her on the spot?
We just said direct staff.
I agree with Director Rogers.
Sort of motion. So
that
would be
a yes.
Director Wortham?
Yes.
Director Matthew?
No.
Vice President Rogers?
Yes.
And President Zendel?
No.
So we have Matthew. No.
Is this a needed four to one vote, or is this a...
No, three to two. So we're going to direct the staff. We're not going to extend the contract. We're going to direct the staff to bring a proposal to hire three staff people immediately to begin working on the collective. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. The second proposal from the staff has to do with using the $700,000 that's left to begin the process of matching funds again per CVAG's request. It's on page 5 and 6. Anybody want to say anything more about that before?
So the key is what we're hoping is that we're successful to do 100,000 match at each of the cities. So then what would require is us to come back to the board at a later time once we have the commitments and request a further commitment from the district to the collective fund to meet all of the 9 cities.
Okay, so the $700,000 is left over from last fiscal year. And if all 9 wanted to do it, we would have to come back again.
Right, for $200,000.
Okay, is there a motion to accept this?
I move to accept it.
Is there a second? I'll second it. Is there any further discussion? Okay, I'm in favor of it. Let's call it.
Okay, Director Perezquio.
In favor? Yes.
Director Wortham?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Aye.
And Vice President Rogers?
Yes.
And President Zendel?
Yes. Okay, we're going to adjourn the meeting for a closed session. Hopefully it won't last more than 29 minutes or whatever. And we will reconvene at 6 o'clock for the district meeting. Thank you, everyone.